Colin Russo with ESPN West Palm, kicking things off again with another Kaiser's Coach's Corner on ESPN West Palm High School Game Day on ESPN 106.3. Welcoming in a little Treasure Coast action up in Martin County girls basketball. We got Coach Georgia Taylor with us now. District championship was last week. A lot of energy, a lot of big game winning for Martin County. You guys have had a fun season nonetheless. Baptist Health Performance of the Week as well with ESPN West Palm, which you can check out on our socials at ESPN West Palm on Instagram. Coach Taylor, welcome on in. How you doing today? What's going on?
Good. We're awesome.
And Coach, this part of the year, obviously it's a little nerve-wracking. Big game tonight. Districts last week. Let's start with the districts. How'd that go going in? What was the morale of the team heading into that, and what went down?
Hey, heading into the district championship, obviously the way our schedule is set up, we ended up playing our district competitor on senior night. And we were looking to, you know, make a statement. We had a really tough season, and that just happened to be one of the teams that we ended up playing towards the end. And, you know, they came in on senior night, and they took it on the chin, and they definitely performed at a high level. And without my team hitting shots from outside, we ended up getting in a little bit of a rut in the first three quarters. At halftime, we really just readjusted. We're a shooting team. We readjusted. We know how to drive. It hasn't always been our first look, but we know how to do it. We just turned it around, and we actually said, you know, let's just stop shooting from the outside. Let's get to the free throw line, and let's find energy. We have a big bench energy. We have a lot of fun. You know, at Martin County, we believe in no breaks. We have always trained that way. So subbing out of the game, you just clocked out to do your job on the bench. So same thing in practice. We don't start any drill until every kid in the gym is clapping and speaking, and then we start. So when you're waiting in line, you're clapping and cheering. So the bench was a huge part of our comeback for senior night. And after that comeback, we were like, we're not going to let them come in here and we don't want to give any hope.
And I've heard about it too, the bench energy and how well it carries over to the girls that are on the court playing. So tell me a little bit about that, because establishing a culture like that about celebration and positive energy, it's a personality. You're dealing with personalities of basketball players. So you got to make sure that they buy into that. Is that a testament to the culture that is built over the years, or is this a year by year thing? Tell me how you establish something like that with the girls.
Yeah, 100%. It's been years in the making. My first year here, you know, you really try to step in and you want to set some ground rules on what you believe and you want to set your culture. One of the biggest things about the culture that I believe in is fun. You know, basketball is supposed to be fun. It's hard competition. You're hard in practice, but there's moments in practice and there's moments in games where you should be able to smile and be like, you know what, that was awesome. So it started in practice. Last year was a big year for us bench wise. You know, we really grew into our, you know, I think your bench has a culture. And I think your bench, like I said, there's no breaks in the game. When you leave the court, you're clocking into your bench job. They play two different jobs on the court in every game we play. Big thing that helped a lot was instilling in practice. Like I said, we don't start any drill unless every single kid in the gym is clapping. And last year, clapping was enough. This year, you had to say something out loud, too. Whether it was a let's go, whether it was a we got it, you have to speak and clap. When I started to do that in practice, it became easier and easier to go ahead and do that in a game. Our tough schedule helped a lot, because with playing tough opponents, you have to be able to talk on the court, and your bench needs to be able to talk to you. So everybody talking at once, at first in a learning curve, you're trying to find the voice to listen to. But at the end of the day, it just instills so much more energy in you. You have all these kids behind you that are like, all right, when you're ready to come out, I'm right behind you. But while you're out there, I'm rooting for you.
And that's interesting you said that, because starting it in practice and having every player vocal and clapping in practice, I guess, makes it easier to carry over into the games. Was there an adjustment period to that when you first started doing stuff like that? Just making sure the activity is just nonstop. Was there any, I'm not saying pushback, but was there a growing pains when it comes to something like that?
Yeah, there was definitely growing pains. We actually had moments where we would watch film and we would only watch the bench.
Wow.
And I know that sounds a little bit, it sounds a little crazy at first, but I think kids don't realize that everybody's watching them. So you have kids that want to play in college. College coaches are coming. They're going to come to a game that they know you'll lose, because they know you'll sit. And they want to see how you act on the bench. And once we started to have those conversations, we started to only watch the bench. When I review film, I watch it, you know, you watch it multiple times. One time I only watched the bench. So once we started to really let him know, like, hey, there's eyes on you, and my assistant coach is the bench monitor. If that bench is quiet, she's standing up, and she will kick kids off the bench. So if you want to be quiet, you're quiet for about 2-3 possessions, you're going to get kicked off.
Wow. And has that come up at all when you have to kick people off the bench?
No, she really instills that fear.
It's the fear. It's the prospect of it potentially being there. That's what sets it in stone. All right, interesting. Coach, let's go back to the beginning of the year a little bit. Obviously, you guys had a great finish to the year. But the start, you know, 2-7 start on the season and the schedule, a couple big losses there. Tell me about how you guys responded to that. A lot of these losses, were close. And, one possession, two possession. Getting into a rut earlier in the year, you don't want people to pack it in, so to speak. What did you say to the girls, and how did you guys respond?
Another thing we started new this year, once a week I would teach a Protect Your Peace mental health class. It helps them with understanding their feelings. They kept a lot of journals. It helped them with understanding your feelings and, most importantly, grounding yourself. So in those losses, those four, you know, when you get down to it, there's a couple different things in those, like, 5-point losses. You get down to individuals that made mistakes. You get down to coaching mistakes. All those little 5 points, you think about everything, right? We started to realize that some of those 5-point losses in the beginning, we lost 4 games in a row under 4. They were individual confidence errors, whether it was by one kid, whether it was by multiple, and there were confidence errors throughout the game. We started to realize that early on, if we don't find confidence right away in the first quarter, some of us didn't finish confidently, or it took too long to regain confidence back, which ended up hurting us as a team. So number one thing, I had to turn around and we had to go into practice and we just had to start doing confidence drills. I started instilling more pressure. So if they can't hit the shot, I put like 10 seconds on the clock and they have to hit 3 threes, one person. If they can't hit it, they won't stop until they do. And you start to understand, you start to see them. The first time they miss it, they're like, okay. Second time, okay. Third time, roll the shoulders forward. You see the head go down. Then it's nobody's allowed to talk to them. If they miss 4 in a row, they're not allowed to come help you. You have to help yourself. So those losses honestly meant the most to us. The losses early on meant the most to us. I think that really, really helped us build our culture. And I think outside of basketball, it helped a lot of my kids become confident as people.
And coming into the year, there's no way you expected the season to start out that way, but you're thinking here now, hindsight 2020, after a full season's body of work, you think it ultimately was a net positive to the overall growth of this team?
1,000%. You know, going back, and obviously coaches make schedules, right? So going back and forth and starting to see some of their confidence drop, starting to overanalyze internal mistakes, my mistakes, their mistakes. I mean, you know, you really look at it from an outside point of view because you're sitting in it. And you realize, like, should I have changed the schedule? Should I have not made it so hard? Can they handle it? Am I ruining this experience for them? But we had multiple meetings, the group of us, and they knew it going in. I prepared them mentally. I told them it was going to be hard. But last year we went down south and we lost by, you know, 30-plus points in the regional semifinals. So I was like, what means the most to us? Having a great schedule, you know, having a great record of winning districts, or do we want to go far? And they all were like, we want to go far. So that meant playing defending state champions. That meant playing all these hard teams back to back to back, no break, no easy out, no blowout, no nothing. So it meant watching film over and over. Every single practice had a different assignment, whether it was this team runs this team runs that. There was no breaks. So for the betterment of the team, if you asked all of them individually now, I think they would rather have done it the way we did rather than have an easy way about it.
Coach Georgia Taylor joining us now. Martin County girls basketball district champions. Got some playoff action still to come. But, Coach, one thing that obviously has been made abundantly clear throughout the duration of this interview is you make a focal point of teaching your girls attitude. And attitude is of the utmost of importance of how these girls carry themselves on and off the court. When you're teaching attitude, especially with high school athletes who are so dramatically impacted by their own personal play and everything like that, have you found that to be something that you have learned yourself as a coach over the years, that you have sort of fine-tuned your way of teaching attitude? Have you What sort of things have you trialed and errored that what has gotten through to the girls? What have you learned that hasn't gotten through and what has gotten through in terms of whether you're teaching attitude for positive or worse?
I've learned that every kid in that high school area is different. So you have kids at your high school that want to play in college that can handle hard things. They can handle hard conversations. But you have that great high school basketball player that just loves playing and wants to be here. So you have to find a way to compete, but keep them. You have to keep every single kid in the gym, right? So you have to figure out ways to have fun and be able to keep it competitive for the kids that want to play in college. So you need to teach every single kid differently. A couple years ago, I tried to talk to them all the same. I found some backlash in some kids that, you know, some kids have feelings, you know, their feelings are going to get hurt if you yell at them a certain way, you know, and they can't handle that. So then the next year I try to go a little bit softer. I try to go on a softer approach, but then I found that my kids that wanted to play in college, they weren't experiencing that hard level. No, tell me when I'm doing something wrong and tell it to me loud. So going into this year, I really started to understand every single kid on my team. What helped a lot is you talk to them right beforehand. We have a preseason meeting. We're talking to them. And you need to figure out what kids are there for the next level and what kids are there because they're great high school basketball players, which people love to watch. I talk to college coaches all the time. They see them. They know them. They love to watch those kids. You got to keep those kids around. So these kids need to be taught different. They need to be spoken to different. The girls and the team in itself, they need to understand how to speak to their teammates different. One girl can handle being yelled at, but this girl over here, you need to speak to her quietly. You need to speak to her calmly. Don't do it in front of other people. She gets embarrassed. Like, she needs to be told what she did wrong, and she needs to be able to fix it without anybody knowing. Like, you have to really, especially in girls basketball, you have to hyperanalyze, and you need to understand that every single kid is different, and you have to treat them different. You just have to put the effort in to treat them different so that everybody is happy. And, you know, it's exhausting. But when you get down to it, the kids are happier. You're happier because they're performing better, and the camaraderie of the team is better because they now understand how to talk to each individual.
Coach, when you're entering into district playoff games or even the playoff games that you have tonight and everything like that, when you approach these games throughout the week, what is your messaging to the team in terms of how do you approach a playoff game? Some coaches like to kind of keep it small, keep it like a normal game as best they can. Or some coaches demand the best out of their players and think that, all right, challenging them to rise to the occasion of a win-or-go-home game will get the best out of them. How do you approach it as a coach with this specific group? What have you found works in terms of walking into a game tonight, for example, and playing a big playoff game?
This specific group is all about being intentional. So this year with this group of girls and this team that I have, what's worked the best is not putting a ton of pressure on each game, not going into it and saying, hey, if you lose this game, you're done. Instead, going into tonight specifically, pregame talk is going to be all about intention. You shoot this shot, it's because you believed in it, right? You go on the court and you make this mistake, as long as you had the right belief and you thought you were doing the right thing in the time, and guess what? You learned from it. Don't do it twice in a row. We have a big thing. You don't make two mistakes in a row. But most importantly, every action is intentional tonight. So every shot is intentional. Every pass is intentional. You're loud on the bench. We can hear you from everywhere. And I have a big thing about body language. So making a mistake tonight is not the end of the world. Losing tonight is not the end of the world. But you need to understand that you need to be able to leave this game and be proud of your performance.
And coach, last thing. Coach, last thing here, looking ahead to the South Broward matchup today in the regional playoffs. What do you need to see from the girls tonight? What are you looking for? What is the matchup going to look like? Give us a little rundown on that.
We're looking for speed tonight. We're looking to press. We're looking to experience a lot of secondary breaks tonight. We worked a lot of secondary breaks throughout the season. I like to see them play fast, and I like to see them make quick, great decisions. We have a tempo thing. You know, if we don't have the tempo at that point in time, we don't like to chase games. We like games to come to us. So if speed's not working, we're going to slow it down. But I would like to see them not chase the game tonight. I would like to see the game come to them.
Coach, I appreciate you giving us the time, giving us a little rundown of what to expect tonight, and more importantly, what the sort of identity of this team, Martin County girls basketball, has been throughout the year and sort of the adversity you guys have faced and how ultimately you guys came out a better team because of it. I appreciate the time as always and root for you guys. Looking forward to hearing about how the game went and looking forward to talking again soon.
Thank you so much, Colin.
You got it. That's Coach Georgia Taylor, Martin County girls basketball. We will close things out next. But first, it is ESPN West Palm High School game day on ESPN 106.3. If you missed any of the interviews, you can listen to it in one place. Go to Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast. All those great places, just search up ESPN West Palm High School game day. Follow us on social media at ESPN Top 63 on Twitter/X or ESPN West Palm on Instagram, where you can see our full catalog of high school coach interviews from throughout Treasure Coast and Palm Beach County. Any sport, anytime, especially with these winter sports closing out here in the next couple weeks. Got a lot of action to stay on top of. You can find it all there and on our YouTube, ESPN South Florida and ESPN West Palm. This is Colin Russo closing things out here. We'll see you next time, same time as always, right here on ESPN 106.3.